www.thebaptistcommunity.com. Well, good morning, everyone. If you're just joining us in our series, we've been going through this series called The Greatest Show, based on the movie The Greatest Showman, and taking some of these different songs from the soundtrack and kind of running with that theme as we work our way through the Gospels and the stories of Jesus. And so this morning's theme is This Is Me. And P.T. Barnum, in this scene here, P.T. Barnum has put together this show full of oddities and curiosities around the world. That was his idea. And so you have the tall man and the short man and the, you know, the hairy man, the dog man and the fat man and world's biggest, world's tallest, all this sort of thing. And kind of at the center of this is Letty, who does this singing. She has this great voice, but also an amazing beard. So bearded lady, right, kind of the centerpiece of the whole show. So he's taken these outcasts, these rejects, and these nobodies, and he's made them kind of the backbone of this performance troupe. And so they have audiences smiling and laughing and cheering and singing. People love seeing them perform. And slowly, they start to kind of own their identity despite those oddities in and of themselves. Now, just before the clip we watched, the troupe hears this singer, Jenny Lind, perform. And she has this angelic, amazing voice. And yet, she is a performer for the elite and the elegant crowd. They're blown away by her. They want to go see her in the after party. But the doors get shut in their face because these people who are in this party, to them, they will be nothing but circus freaks ever. That's all they're going to see them as. So the door is slammed in their face, and the worst part about it for them is that Barnum, who has put them together as a troupe, is the one who's keeping them out. And so they're crushed by this. So they're crushed, but it's a musical. And so in like 2 seconds, they bounce back, right? They rally behind this anthem that we just heard. And, you know, so the words, when the sharpest words want to cut me down, going to send a flood, going to drown him out. I'm brave, I'm bruised, I'm who I'm meant to be, this is me. Look out, because here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen, I make no apologies, this is me. Now, I don't know where they got that magical confidence from in that moment, right? It's a movie, so I guess they can, you know, just write that in the script. But, you know, they kind of wells up within them. They pull it out of thin air. But, you know, we know it doesn't work for us that way, right? I mean, you've probably had seasons or moments in your life in which you your confidence was deeply shaken. Maybe it was a particular area of your life, or still is, where you're just struggling with that idea of being confident in anything. I mean, I think of, you know, some of the examples we see. When you think about school, whether you're a high school student, a college student, some people taking graduate programs, that sort of thing, you know, that can be a struggle. I have some really smart kids, like I do, and they don't get it from me. I'm pretty confident in that. That's probably Sherry's part. But they do really well in school. They're used to really good grades. But even recently, there have been some test scores or classes that have been struggles. They're not used to that. It's kind of disappointing. And it can shake your confidence in your ability as a student. I'm a soccer coach. I think I'm a decent soccer coach. Or at least I don't think I stink as a soccer coach. But when things don't go well, or you have kids who don't come back the next year, that's tough to swallow. It's hard not to take that personally, right? Maybe it's in your job. Things at your work are going down the tubes in your company. The production is dropping. The sales are down. Or maybe you work with people and people aren't using your services like they used to. Now, you have a good product, and you're doing a good job, you're working really hard, but things just seem to be going downhill no matter what you do. Right? That can get pretty discouraging. It can happen in church. Right? Like, I know we're a decent church, and we have some great people, and a few oddballs of course. We know that. Won't mention them by name, Bob. But you were mentioning everyone's name this morning, so I thought I'd throw that in. No. But you know, look, we go through some times where it's kind of a downswing, or people head to other churches, or they kind of drop out of the faith, and that gets pretty deflating. It can happen, obviously, in our relationships, right, with your husband and wife, your kids, or just your friends. You know, I know of one particular woman who has had a deep longing for close friendships with other women for a long time. She sought it out, but it always kind of comes up short, and that leaves kind of this emptiness in her life that she can't seem to fill. And it makes her want to just quit trying. Maybe it's rejection because you're a follower of Jesus and your relationships change because of that. Right? People don't want to hang out with you anymore, or at least not in certain environments. Or if they do, it's just not the same. It's like they're kind of holding back. They're not really including you. And maybe that can happen with your friends or your coworkers or your family. And maybe you're not completely shut out, but you still feel like you're a little bit on the outside looking in, right? And it's because of your faith, and you know it. That's hard. And maybe it's not a particular area, but just some specific instances where your confidence is low because of failure in your life. I mean, this past week I had a circumstance that kind of came up, a situation that came up, and I won't get into too many of the details, but some conflict between me and a few other people. And I did my best to hold my frustrations in check, but when I was accused of something that was really somebody else's fault, I didn't do that so well. I didn't handle that terribly well. And, you know, it was something that God apologized for and worked out, but honestly, I look at that situation and I think I just destroyed any credibility as a follower of Jesus, or let alone a pastor, with some people who I'm not so sure where they're really at with Jesus. How do you bounce back from that? That's hard. There are times that we have in our life that shake our confidence as followers of Jesus. And they make us feel incapable, inadequate, doubt our value, doubt our worth. It's awful tough to do like this song says, and you know, stand up tall and keep your head held high and have confidence in yourself when something like that's going on. Right? Now you probably relate to some of those stories. You probably also will find it comforting to know that you aren't alone in this. Even in the time of Jesus, one person in particular who stood out among the crowds in a lot of ways in Jesus' day, he had a crisis of confidence, a crisis of faith as well. And so in the passage we're going to be looking at this morning, which is in Luke chapter 7, we're going to look at John the Baptist, one of the most outspoken prophets who pointed people to Jesus. And we're picking up his story in Luke chapter 7, where Jesus comes to this town called Nain. Now, when he gets there, there's a funeral procession that's taking place. And Jesus walks up, stops the funeral, tells the woman to stop crying. Now, that takes a lot of confidence, doesn't it? You know, and then he brings the dead man back to life and gives him to his mother. Incredible, right? Incredible. But here's what happens next. That's where we're picking up the story in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 16. It says this: fear seized them all the people who were in the area, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come? or shall we look for another? Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Now, John had lived this crazy life, right? He lived in the wilderness, wore camel skin, camel hair clothes, ate locusts and honey, right? Yeah, he lived this radical life as a prophet of God. He'd been pointing people to Jesus. He told them, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was calling people back to repentance and to turn their hearts back to God. He even heard the voice of God and saw the Holy Spirit descend in the form of a dove at Jesus' baptism. This guy seems like someone who should be pretty unshakable when it comes to his faith and his belief in Jesus. But here he is asking Jesus, are you the one? Are you really the one? Or should we be expecting someone else? Now, Matthew's gospel account kind of clarifies for us that at this particular point, John is in prison. And he's been thrown in prison by Herod for speaking out against his wrongful marriage. And when he's there, Herod didn't like that, so he throws him in prison. Eventually, he would be beheaded. He was going to lose his life. Now, chances are John saw that coming. You know, he had some idea of what was coming his way. But here he is after proclaiming the good news, pointing people to the kingdom of God, pointing people to Jesus. And he's in a pretty dark moment in his life. And so he wants to know for sure, was I right about this? Right? Are you really the one? Or was everything I did for nothing? You can probably relate to that kind of feeling, right? So John, he sends his disciples to get some answers. Verse 20, we'll pick that up again. And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the good news preached to them. Now, Jesus, we'll keep going in a moment, but Jesus does more than just give John an answer here. He actually points him to the words of the prophet Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah 61:1 says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Right? Jesus had just talked about that. The poor are hearing the good news. Also in Isaiah, we find these words, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, then the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Jesus was doing all these things that Isaiah said the promised one would do. People were being healed, captives were being set free, the poor were having the good news preached to them. He told John's disciples, look, remind John of all the things Isaiah said would take place, and then tell him what you see happening. Because it is. Right? It's happening. Yes, I am the one you've been waiting for. And then he adds this at the end of that statement in verse 23. He says, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Right? Blessed is the one who's not offended by me. Now, this word for offended, it comes from the idea of like a stumbling block or something being put in the way that can cause someone to fall or turn away. So Jesus is in essence saying, look, blessed is the one who doesn't fall, who doesn't stumble, who doesn't turn away from me. Now again, Jesus goes on in a couple of verses to talk about how John was the there's no one born of women who is greater than John the Baptist. He was the one who is predicted that would come and be the forerunner to the Messiah. In other words, he was going to come and announce the promised one who was Jesus. And yet, even though he was this person who seemed to have all this confidence in who Jesus was, John was wrestling with his confidence here. Even John the Baptist needed a little reassurance. And I think what we see in John is this, and this is kind of the, I guess, the big idea here. We can be confident in the person and work and truth of Jesus. Right? We can be confident in the person and the work and the truth of Jesus. Even when we're not confident in who we are, we can be confident in who he is. John didn't find some sort of confidence somewhere deep within himself. He didn't pull it out of thin air magically. He found his confidence in the person, the work, and the truth of Jesus. And I think in the same way, so can we. We can be confident in the person, the work, and truth of Jesus. So what do we do? How do we handle it when our confidence is shaken? Or when we're struggling to remain confident in our faith, right? Three simple things that I think we see John do that do relate in an important way for us that we're going to look at this morning. We'll consider for a few minutes. First of all, when your confidence is shaken, reach out to Jesus. Right? When your confidence is shaken, reach out to Jesus. I know that seems simple, but look, John couldn't do that himself. He was in prison, so he sent disciples to do it for him, to find Jesus and to ask him, are you really the one? Or should I be expecting someone else? When John reaches out to Jesus, look, Jesus didn't scold him for not having enough faith. He didn't hold out on John. He gave him an answer. Right? And I believe he'll do the same for us. I mean, think about, you know, we talk about confidence in the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus is the one who is fully divine, yet fully human. Right? Fully God and fully man. Which means that even though he was God, he completely understands what we're struggling with and what we're going through. So talk to him. Right? Be with him in prayer. Even if that prayer might sound pretty, desperate. Like, Jesus, are you still there? That's what John was asking. Are you the one? Jesus, do you really love me? Do you still believe in me? Lord, will you forgive me again? Right? If you need the reassurance, ask him. Right? Reach out to Jesus. Reach out for the person of Jesus. So that's the first thing. The second thing that we see in John is this, when your confidence is shaken, recognize his work, talking about the work of Jesus. Recognize his work. So John hears these reports of Jesus healing the blind and the deaf and the sick. He heard of Jesus raising people from the dead. He found confidence in the work that Jesus was doing. It was evidence that reassured him in his faith. A couple of weeks ago, some pastors, I got together with some pastor friends, and we were praying for the different churches and different people. And the conversation was like the question we were talking about that day was, what's going on in your church, in your ministry, in your life that you are excited about? Right? What's like this yay God thing that's happening? And I have to admit, that question was a tough one. It was tough for me to answer. Not because there aren't good things going on, but there's so many difficult things that are happening in people's lives. It's so easy to be overcome by the negative, and I had to actually force myself to stop and think, what is it that God's doing that I'm excited about? And by taking the time to do that, to think about what was happening in my life or in our faith community here, it was really encouraging. Because there's a lot of good things that God is up to, but we often are just so overcome by the negative. So we have to take notice or recognize where Jesus is at work. When our confidence is shaken, let's look to that. And then the third thing is, when your confidence is shaken, remember his truth. Remember his truth. So Jesus, when he answered John, he points him to the scriptures, right? So Isaiah 35, we heard that just a moment ago. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame man, then the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Right? So Jesus says this to John. Because John knew the scriptures, he would have recognized those words as being from Isaiah. But you know what else he would have understood? The words that came before them. Right? The verses right before, verse 3 and verse 4, say this: strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Right? One of the ways a rabbi would often teach and communicate was to present a passage with the assumption that those who heard that passage would not only understand the reference, but because they knew their scriptures, would understand the words before and after. So it's like Jesus sends John this little secret message with a special decoder ring to say, look, fear not, be strong, your God will save you. That's what he's hearing from Jesus in the midst of his difficulties. And the thing is there is such great encouragement in the scripture that reminds us of who we are and what we have in Jesus. Like that passage in Isaiah is a great example. Or how about 2 Corinthians 4 says this, verses 8 and 9, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. In Hebrews 10:39, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. You see, God's word is full of promises and encouragements like this for us. When your confidence is shaken, we need to remember his truth. Now, of course, side note, we can't remember what we don't know in the first place, right? God's word doesn't help us if we aren't immersing ourselves in it. And so let me put one more plug for our devotions that are going out each day to just help you connect with Jesus as we head towards Easter. Right? Because we can't remember what we don't know in the first place. So we spend time in his word. And I think those are three things that we can do. Even when we're not confident in who we are, we can be confident in him. Reach out to Jesus, recognize his work, remember his truth. We can be confident in the person, the work, and the truth of Jesus, as John ultimately was. If the worship team wants to come up, we're going to close with a few songs that have to do with this, but as we do, I just want to share one last passage and we'll pray. And it's from Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. In chapter 17, verse 7, it says this: blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Listen to those first couple of words there. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. When you look up those words that say trust there, there's kind of two different forms, and you can almost translate it like this. Blessed is the one whose trust is the Lord and whose confidence is the Lord. The confidence grows strong when we plant ourselves in Jesus. Right? It's like a tree whose roots are near the stream. We always have access to the one who can give us life, to Jesus. Our leaves will stay green, right? When the heat gets turned up in our lives and things get hard, it's not a problem. We can have confidence in him. No dry spell is ever going to get the best of us. We'll keep bearing fruit in our lives because we're connected to him. When we aren't confident in who we are, we can be confident in the person, the work, in the truth of Jesus. We can be confident in him. I want to take a moment and pray, and then we're going to worship. And as we sing these songs, they are clearly songs that are meant to remind us of just who we are in Christ, what we have in Him. As we worship Him, we're reminding ourselves of these truths. And as we're reminded of these truths, my prayer is that we will once again be reminded of the confidence we can have in Him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your words. Thank You so much for Jesus, who had ultimately all the confidence in the world, but He was Jesus. And we're not Him. And so we struggle like John did. We struggle with our confidence. We struggle with our faith. And yet, You offer this incredible hope that if we turn to You, if we put our trust in You, put our confidence in You, that no dry spell will get the best of us. But we'll continue to bear fruit. We'll continue to live. And so we want to put our confidence and our trust in You in this moment. And as we maybe think of things in our lives that have threatened to shake that, that have discouraged us, that make it hard to stand tall and confident in You, we pray You would remind us, that we would be able to reach out to You, to see how You're working in our lives and around us, and to recall Your truth of who we are in You. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and we worship You this morning in that spirit.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.